Cruise to Hell, Part 3. So the girl has been put onto the aeroplane, an air ambulance, and on arrival in London, she's transferred to a hospital ward. She's still unconscious. Mother also arrives at the airport around the same time as the girl is being transferred to the hospital where the gastroenterologist first treated her. Mother calls the gastroenterologist from the airport. Could the sulfasalazine have caused my daughter's breakdown? Only if she got dehydrated, is the curt response. Mother is in shock. For sure, the girl was dehydrated. It was really hot, and they'd never been alerted to the importance of good hydration. In the hospital, the gastroenterologist approaches the unconscious girl, ignoring the distressed father and son, who were travelling with her and, of course, travelled in the ambulance to the hospital with her. So the doctor takes a quick look at her. She's unconscious. He spins on his heel and walks away from the bed without speaking to the father or the son, and he's muttering, "Nothing to do with me." A nurse informs them that daughter is being transferred to a psychiatric clinic eventually. In the clinic, she wakes, confused, disorientated. They medicate her. She suffers dystonic side effects from the drugs that affects the body as well as the brain. And she has to be given other drugs to counteract the paralysis, the rigid body, her tongue unable to mouth the words she so wants to say. Thankfully, daughter is eventually persuaded to see her mother and elder brother. They sit and they hold her hands and she feels their love. A few days pass. They're all hopeful for daughter's recovery. Mother is at home when the phone rings. "Take me away from here. I'm in the nurse's office. There are maggots crawling all over me. They're all over the typewriter, on the desk and on the floor." Mother rushes to the clinic. She discovers they've given her daughter haloperidol, a drug notorious for causing visual hallucinations. Possibly at that time, it had only just been licensed. 2 weeks after the initial breakdown, daughter comes home. Family asks the psychiatrist, "Should we talk to her about what happened?" "No, it's a benign illness. Best to put it all behind her. She'll be all right. An adolescent crisis. Shouldn't reoccur. Best not to talk to her about it." By the way, at this time, she's still taking the sulfasalazine. He also prescribed chlorpromazine on top of the sulfasalazine. Chlorpromazine is an antipsychotic drug, sometimes called Largactil or the chemical cosh. They go home and the whole episode is not mentioned. Over the following week, she's taken off the psychiatric drugs but continues taking the sulfasalazine as directed by the gastroenterologist. It's been a nightmare for the two older sons, so parents decide to send them on holiday to their grandmother who lives in California. The boys take the opportunity to visit Las Vegas to see Lance Burton and the Pendragons, the great magic icons. Feeling relaxed, the brothers return to the UK, but are horrified to find their sister is back in the clinic. She's frightened, paranoid, has delusions people are watching her, seeing signals directed at her. What could have caused this sudden relapse? Later, mother suspects it was the result of too rapid withdrawal of the psychiatric drugs. A month in the clinic seems to lead to a good recovery. Daughter stops taking all the drugs, including sulfasalazine, and does not return to the university. In November, her stomach pain returns, so she takes a single sulfasalazine pill. A nasty skin blistering eruption follows. The skin on her back looks as if it has been burnt with a branding iron. A dermatologist tells her, "You must never take it again. You're allergic to sulfasalazine." Slowly, normality returns. Daughter's progress is positive. She copes with responsible jobs, socializes with her friends, manages well. No drugs, no side effects for 6 years. She travels with the family to Paris for a wedding, to Jersey to see her brother's magic act. On return from Jersey, she even copes with the sad loss of her adored little grandpa, her father's dad. When middle brother's newly created double act is booked for a season in Japan, she is determined to join him. It will be his 21st birthday, so she travels alone to Sendai, where she has a great time. She stays and manages to find a job working in the hotel kitchen. She lives with the dancers from the hotel cabaret, even has a romantic affair with a Japanese man. She also works in California as an au pair and joins middle brother on another visit to Las Vegas, where they have a fun-filled few days, blagging their way into the Mirage Hotel to see a dress rehearsal of the renowned Siegfried and Roy magic show. They have white tigers. It's quite spectacular. So, 6 good years. And by 1991... she's a personal assistant in a local company. All seems to be on an even keel. But then, mother notices daughter seems to be weary with little energy to socialise. Mother has no idea a drug called Dianet has been prescribed for a hormonal issue. Later, she's told by a psychiatrist, "It's well known in the profession Dianet causes depression." It's also called the weeping pill on some internet forums. Mother doesn't know any of this, but she thinks a holiday might be beneficial. Why not with Grandma in California? She plans to go with her daughter, but maybe it's a good idea for daughter and grandmother to get to know each other without her. Grandmother moved to California with a second husband when daughter was only 3. So, daughter sets off with high expectations of swimming and sunbathing in sunny California. She's looking forward to being a bridesmaid at her eldest brother's wedding later in the year, too. Grandma has a nice Greek-style villa in Leisure Village, near San Diego. It's a retirement complex with a swimming pool and golf course. A paradise for the elderly. Not so for the young granddaughter. Grandma considers all her grandchildren, especially, to be spoiled. So granddaughter finds, instead of the comforting warmth of a caring grandmother, criticism and nagging, pulled up for anything deemed out of order. Also, the dream of sunbathing by the swimming pool is not realised, as visitors have to be accompanied. Grandmother disappointingly only takes her once to the pool. A blind date grandmother arranges with a friend's nephew is another hiccup. He's a musician, kind and sensitive. They meet and get on well, but he has long hair, to grandma's disgust, so she forbids him to come to the door of her villa. "If you want to see him, you'll have to meet him outside the complex. I won't give permission for security to let him in." It all comes to a head on daughter's birthday in April, the day before grandmother's birthday. And instead of being taken by her date to a club, she has to accompany grandmother to a country and western dance party. Just prior to her return to England, she challenges her grandmother. "I can't believe the cruel way you've treated me." There were other things I haven't mentioned in this story that really upset her. Anyway, Grandma apologises and they both cry. Grandma says, "Please don't tell your mother or I won't come to your brother's wedding in August." Daughter now has a huge conflict. How can she keep this secret from her mother? She lies awake worrying. She doesn't sleep for 3 nights. She's still on Dianet. On the 10-hour flight home, thoughts go round and round in her head. How can she not tell her mother what happened? Should she tell her? If she does, Grandma will fall out with all the family. Mother and middle son are at Gatwick, waiting. The passengers disembark. But there's no sign of daughter. The arrivals area empties out. Mother turns to walk one way and son the other. Mother turns round and cannot see her son or her daughter. The whole area is empty. Where is he? Where is she? She walks around confused. How can a daughter, then a son, both disappear? Eventually she turns a corner and sees the two of them huddled on a seat. Daughter is sobbing. She won't say why. They go to the car. Daughter cries and cries. What's the matter? What's upsetting you? I can't tell you. Don't ask me.